Hey guys, welcome to a new Off the Record podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. The big man, Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, is my guest today. I went into his office on Thursday. Before we get to that, I want to thank our friends at the Iowa Clinic. Hey guys, the kids are going back to school. We got those sports physicals coming up. I'd like to encourage you to visit my friends at the Iowa Clinic. This is what I do every year. I go and get my physical right before the football season because it's easy for me to remember. It's kind of like my back to school physical. I'm getting ready for fall camp. That's how I look at it. Get those kids back to school. Get those sports physicals. Check it out. There's locations all over the metro. The Iowa Clinic, iowaclinic.com. Check them out today. All right, here we go. Let's do it. Off the Record today. A lot of Big 12 expansion. Jamie Pollard is a very candid man. We talk about that in the upcoming season right here on Off the Record at CycloneFanatic.com. So here we go. The second year in a row we've done this. I always look forward to sitting down with Jamie Pollard here in the big office. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well. Good to have you back in.
It's good to be here. How was so we've all been following on social media. You've been in Poland. How was that?
It was absolutely awesome. I'm so glad I went. I can't put into words how cool it was to see Thomas in a USA jersey.
Yeah.
I don't think I understood the magnitude of that until it actually happens. So I'm glad I got to see that in person. And then secondly, it was really neat to tour the country.
Yeah.
It's not a place that I would have thought to go travel to. So getting to do that was kind of a bonus. And my wife and I had a wonderful time. And it's a great country to go to. And it's not something I anticipated.
What is Poland? So when I think of Poland, I'll think of like a Polish sausage. But that's about it. Like what?
I hardly ever saw any of that.
The big deal there? Like,
I kidded Tom Crischel, and I was going to do a Facebook post which just said final observations. So I'll maybe just kind of mind dump on some of those. First of all, very clean.
Okay.
Incredibly clean. I mean, you just don't see trash anywhere. Secondly, very cheap for food. I mean, everything else was priced kind of like our.
Yeah.
But food. The dollar is four times more valuable than one of their quote dollars. And so when you went into a restaurant, anything, you know, the price looked like normal to you and me for what they were charging in Polish dollars. But it was the actual U.S. conversion was only 25% of that. So like in a bar, instead of a $4 beer, it was a $1 beer.
Nice.
Or ice cream cones were like 75 cents. And so they love their beer, morning, lunch, and dinner, which I love. That was good. They love ice cream cones. They love Italian food. You can get a ton of Italian food and pizzas galore. A lot of cobblestone streets with no cars and outdoor cafes and music.
Cool.
Every town had like old town areas with that. We did go to a concentration camp, which was really sobering, especially when I think about it in terms of that generation was my parents.
Yeah.
You know, and so it wasn't that long ago. To go into the crematory and actually touch the, you know, where people were just burned alive and, you know, just very sobering. Went to the Baltic Sea and so just did a lot of really neat things that I didn't know. You know, I never thought about Poland. I knew Warsaw. I had heard of it.
Yeah.
But the cities I was in, we were in the belly of the beast because they weren't tourist areas. And so, you know, everything's written in Polish. So.
Wait, like Polish, they have their own, like, alphabet?
They have their own language. They have their own currency.
I didn't know that.
So they're pretty self-contained, yes. And so, and they're.
I just assume they spoke English over there.
Well, they, surprisingly enough, most of them speak enough English that it was really easy to communicate.
Okay.
But you couldn't read anything. I mean, when you were just driving down the street or in the malls or anything, you know, it just ended up being kind of like white noise to me because you couldn't read anything. And,
yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be a lot of synergy to their words. And their letters don't make the same sounds our letters make. So really hard language to learn. But you didn't need to. I mean, we were able to communicate and navigate extremely well. So really cool place. I would encourage people to if ever want to just go someplace. Very casual place to go in Europe.
So your son wears the colors of Team USA. What was the best part of that? Was it the race itself? Was it the first time you saw him in the uniform?
What are you going to take away the most?
I mean, you probably got to be a track nut. Probably, you know, you can, being that you're a race nut,
yes.
you can fathom this. So.
I love my motors.
But so the meet is very pageantry, like the Olympics, where if anybody's ever been to the Olympics, they'll know what I'm talking about is, you know, it's very consistent. Whenever there's going to be a medal ceremony, the bells toll and the music comes on over the PA system. And so, you know, I mean, it's almost like you're Pavlov's dog by the end of the 8 days of the track meet. Mm-hmm. You know a medal ceremony starting. They do the same thing for when there's a start of the next race. And so what they would do is they would have fireworks and smoke, and the runners would come out of the tunnel out into the track. And so the whole international flavor of it all. So to me, probably the coolest moment was when they introduced that night the 10,000 meter runners, and they all came kind of running out of the tunnel and came down the home straightaway to the starting line. And I didn't know what to do. You know, you wanted to watch it, but you wanted to take pictures.
You wanted
to video. And it was like, dang, I can't do it all at one time. And so then I just finally gave up and just said, I'm just going to absorb the moment and enjoy it. And if we don't get pictures of it, we don't get pictures of it.
That's hard to do in this day and age.
I even find myself
like, you know, when you're watching like a sporting event on TV or you, I find myself wanting to enjoy it, but I also want to check Twitter to see what other people are saying about
right.
it. And it almost takes away from it, too.
You lose the moment. And so in that particular moment, I just decided to be in the moment. And I'm glad I did, because it just was one of those times in my life that I may never get, and Thomas may never get to experience again. I hope that's not the case, but, you know, you got to live your life that way, that it may never happen again. So that's why we went.
I'm just curious, and maybe this didn't even get brought up, but there's been so much controversy with Rio and a mm-hmm. lot of athletes being afraid to go mm-hmm. there because of it. Was, did you hear anything about that? Was it an international event like that? Was that discussed?
No, it's,
you haven't heard it as much with track, more of the professional athletes
right.
are the ones who,
I think like a lot of things in our society today is, because there's such instantaneous ability for people to comment. And I mean, the mere fact, you know, what I'm doing right now on the show, I mean, that is so intense that everything gets so hyped and maybe overstated, that we've probably made a bigger deal out of that Rio situation than it is. I don't know. I'm not going there, so I can't speak to it directly. But, you know, I certainly was very sensitive over there of just what was going on around the country, around the Europe, in terms of, you know, political unrest and violence.
For
and,
sure.
You know, when we were there, it was the mall shooting in Germany, which was like 2 hours from where we were.
Wow. And then I didn't realize that.
To read about the priest being executed a couple days ago. You know, we went to church on Sunday, and which was a whole new, you know, experience to be at a Polish mass where everything is in Polish. You know, you knew kind of what was going on.
Okay, but, now we're praying.
Yeah. But the thought that somebody would run in there and murder the priest in front of you, I mean, just, I don't know. It's frightening what's going on in our world.
Yeah, especially the last couple months.
Right.
It's just.
Right. But then you know what? You also put it in perspective, because I went to a concentration camp and read about just thousands and thousands of people being exterminated. You know, and can you imagine social media in the 1930s if that was going on and people could, you know, report from their concentration camp on a cell phone about what was about to happen to them? You know, so part of what we're experiencing, I think, in this world is such heightened because of the instant ability to report on it.
Just imagine if Twitter existed when JFK was president.
Oh, gosh. Any of those incidents.
Yeah. Or even Michael Jordan's career, like with his gambling deal that's very well documented now.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, everything is it's so sensitized.
Correct.
The and I know, because you and I have conversed about this before, my obsession with conference realignment, that seems like it's in that category too.
Absolutely.
If you search right now on Twitter, Big 12 expansion, like some of the crazy stuff that will pop up, well, you could have some good times with that, actually.
I got news for you. No one in Poland gave a darn, you know, and so.
You guys threw me a curveball, though, down in Dallas. I wasn't expecting that announcement.
Well, I mean, neither was I, because that wasn't the plan going into that meeting. So, you know, things changed pretty rapidly because of some other things that happened in, you know, nationally. But, you know, I do think, based on what you just said, is, you know, there is this little kind of part of me that says, yeah, it is just a lot of hype and a lot of people spending a lot of energy on it. Because, you know, I was in Poland
me
that
included.
Well, but I was in Poland that week, and it was kind of nice to be, removed from it.
I don't blame you.
Because I didn't have to deal with it. And then when I came back, you know, I was on a conference call while I was in Poland, and I did talk to Dr. Leith. But at the same time, I was removed because I didn't have to deal with the, everybody asking you about it. And so that was kind of fresh. It was nice.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you was, like, how does that happen? Do you...
So now you're going to make up for that. And now I ask you all the questions.
How did you find out about that? Did you check Twitter or did...
I mean, that's the other part. Have you ever gone overseas?
I've been to Mexico, but not overseas. That's as far off as I've been.
That isn't overseas.
Yeah,
so.
That doesn't count. That's out of the country. But
yeah,
that,
you just got dinged big time on your show when people are going to go, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to tell me you went to Tijuana, right?
I did not go to Tijuana. Okay. I went to Cancun.
Because that's really not, doesn't count as Mexico, according to what people tell me.
I did the whole, I went down to Tulum.
Tulum, okay.
Do you know where that is?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you go to Cancun.
Yep.
And it's south of Riviera Maya, actually. So it's like down on the...
Are people listening to this? Riviera, Cancun. Listen to this guy.
Yeah, I'm a world
big
traveler,
time.
I tell you what. No, it's... So what you do, though, you fly into Cancun. Uh-huh. And then for like $40, you can get private transportation to pick you up. And they'll drive you all the way down there. That's where we stayed. Because you're away from like the spring break scene. That's why we did that.
But. Well, where I was going with it is the connectivity. I mean, I had, T-Mobile had me hooked in on my Verizon phone. So I had I had text messaging and, I had connectivity. It's just I didn't have anybody there asking me, about it because the Polish people could care less. And the Americans that are around were there for a track meet. So so it was kind of nice to be somewhat removed from just the ludicrousy and the chaos of everything.
Well, it seems like now that Commissioner Boolsby made his that statement, now it's really kind of taken off into a whole other deal where it's weird. Like in the past when conferences have expanded, it's been like underneath the table. It seems like you didn't know about it until it was going to happen. And now it's almost like you guys are getting bombarded with pitches. Is that accurate? Like these schools are, they're all trying to work their way into the league and kind of auctioning it off. Is that fair?
That's how it appears.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I would say a couple things. Number one, we have tremendous leadership in Bob Boolsby, and I couldn't ask to have a better person leading that point for our league and for Iowa State. Secondly, we have a great leader at Iowa State in Stephen Leith, and I feel blessed that he defers and asks me a lot of questions and seeks input. And my guess is he confers with me a lot more than, say, some of the other presidents do with their ADs. I don't know that 100% factually, but my sense is, based on just what I hear from my peers, that I get a little more insight because Dr. Leith chooses to deal with things that way. Mm-hmm. I say that because the presidents are the ones that are leading this charge, and Bob Boolsby's leading the charge on behalf of the president. So, the ADs weren't in the room. So our understanding of what's going on is based on what we hear from whoever we hear it from. And that can be different as a backdrop. So why do I say that? Well, it's too late because most people have already just drunk the Kool-Aid and taken off down their lanes. But I would just caution people to not get so far out over their skis. I'm still not convinced we will expand, and I'm not convinced we won't expand.
Yeah.
What I do is I know this, that we've got great leadership, and they will make the right decisions for the long-term best interest of the Big 12. We, and Iowa State included, need the Big 12. Being in a Power 5 conference financially is it's a make or break. If we weren't in one, we aren't anywhere near the athletics program we are today. And thirdly, I would say that, as an institution, both Dr. Leith and myself have talked about this is, I don't particularly have any pros or cons against any perspective new member to the Big 12. What I do know is that the viability of the Big 12 is contingent upon the grant of rights. Mm-hmm. Our grant of rights is extended it's through 6 more years, which is the current television agreement. And in order for the Big 12 to be viable, that grant of rights needs to be extended. And there are multiple things that could trigger an extension, one of which is a new television deal. A television deal is usually triggered by something that changes in the marketplace, i.e. what happened with the ACC.
Yeah, exactly.
or possibly expansion, or both. And what I know is that the 10 members of the Big 12 are not going to vote to agree to extend their grant of rights unless the institutions or the television deal or both are something that is unanimous amongst the institutions. And so I say that as a backdrop to essentially say this is I don't have a position on any one institution other than this. If any institution, prospective institution, would compel the current 10 members of the Big 12 to unanimously vote to extend their grant of rights, then I would support that institution being a member of the Big 12. But if they can't, if they're not an institution that compels everybody to extend their grant of rights, then Iowa State's not going to vote yes for that member, because the extension of the grant of rights is what's the most critical piece of this, not who we add.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. It's kind of what I've been explaining. It's just a complicated process, too, because I think some people will look at this and they go, it's just football. When the board of directors of the Big 12 sits down, like how much does academics have to do with it? How much is football? How much is a well-rounded athletics department? Is it a combination of everything? If you could just give us some insight on what you all are looking for.
Well, all those things matter, but at the end of the day, I'd be very shallow if I didn't say, look at history, and what trumps everything in the end is the almighty dollar.
Yeah.
And so the dollars are what's going to drive this. Mm-hmm. And, again, I go back to what's going to trigger the dollars is a grant of rights. And the grant of rights extension is only going to happen unanimously amongst the 10 current members is if those numbers are so substantial that you'd want to say, I'm committed to the Big 12 for more than the next 6 years. And again, that can happen in multiple ways. And we were told that the television piece wasn't going to change. So I think that's why everybody was going down the path of there's not going to be any expansion. And then the ACC deal kind of changed things. So, now there's uncertainty, not within the Big 12, but there's uncertainty to whether, well, would the television partners negotiate with us or do we have to force them to negotiate to us by adding members? Because if we add members, they contractually have to give us more money.
Yeah.
And perhaps maybe they would choose to give us a lot of money but don't add any members. So there's a lot of things that could happen.
That's what happened the last time, right?
Well, yeah. So, everybody has jumped from point A to point C by just saying, oh, here's all the members that we're going to expand with, and that may very well happen.
Yeah.
But that may very well not happen either. So I would tell people to tap the brakes, and it's great fodder for what you do for a living and for all the people that write about college sports, and it's heading into football season, so it's a time that, we're going to fill the airways with all this junk.
Be honest with me. I don't know how – you could tell me you don't ever listen to my show. I'm fine with that. And read anything. Do we, spend too much time on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I figured
that would be the answer.
I turned in the other day, and you were...
I was just going off on something.
But you guys were talking about it, and I switched and went back to just listening to music because...
That's okay.
It was like, not because I don't... It was just like, I don't... You know what? I just don't need to hear all that chatter because it's... I get why you guys got to do it, and I know why our listeners want to listen to it. And so yeah. I support it 100%. I'd be hypocritical if I didn't. I'm on your show.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So I'm helping foster that, right?
Yeah.
But I choose not to listen to it because, you know what? There are far many more important things that I need to be focused on as the athletics director at Iowa State right now to make Iowa State successful than speculating about something that ultimately I have zero control over.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it won't be quite this simple, but at the end of the day, just tell me if we're going to have new members and who they're going to be or not, and we'll go on.
Yeah.
It's like Matt Campbell. Somebody asked his opinion, and, Matt and I joked and said, if Matt's worrying about who the members of the Big 12 are, he won't be here to coach against those teams when they're in the league.
That's a good point.
He needs to be focused on the team and September 3rd.
Yeah.
That's true for me as well, but I get it. I get it, and that's part of what makes college athletics exciting, right?
Can I paint a positive picture here?
Yes.
It does seem like there's all this doom and gloom about television a lot of the reason being because reports of cord cutting and not just ESPN losing subscribers, really every network losing subscribers. There does seem to be an opportunity, too, though, with Netflix and Hulu and those type of – so, like, the whole deal of – I read a report today. I think it was Pete Thamel from Sports Illustrated on, well, if the Big 12 does this, then they might tick off their TV partners and not have anybody to work with in 6 years. But I think I could also make the point where – I mean, if you follow the stock market much, Netflix is doing pretty well, right? Like, it just seems to me like in 6 years, and my guess is there will be a new deal before 6 years from now, but there's going to be a lot more opportunity than you guys had the last time you cut a deal.
I mean, technology is changing by the second. Mm-hmm. And so, we're going through a period of time where there's a massive change in technology, and it's happening in such a rapid time frame that we can't even keep up with knowing what it's going to be. Yeah. But I can tell you this, college sports is not going away. And the appetite for people to watch live sports is not going away. The mode in which they may watch it is probably what's going to change. And what we all have to catch up on is how are we going to monetize to whatever that change is. And when I say there's many more things I need to be spending my time on, that's where I need to be spending my time on, not worrying about who is going to be a member of our league or not. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out how to continue to be on the cutting edge. And, you know, I can look back in our own little world of Cyclones.tv and go, where was that? I remember people when we did that, you know, they didn't quite comprehend what we were doing. Yet technology has changed so much that, you know, I'm not somebody that lives in a market that has Mediacom. But Mediacom was the backbone that provided us the ability to distribute all that content free from a production standpoint without having to do satellites.
Yeah.
And we joked back then and said, I don't know what the technology will be in the future where maybe you don't need a satellite truck, right? Well, now here we are, 5 years later, and I can watch Cyclones.tv on my phone at my home, and I don't have Mediacom. Again, I love Mediacom. They've been a great partner with us, but they don't service where I live.
Yeah.
And when we first started Cyclones.tv, that meant I didn't get to watch it. Okay. Now I can watch it anywhere I want. I watched it when I was in Poland, mm-hmm. and all because technology has changed that much in 5 years. What's it going to be in another 5 years or another 10 years?
It makes it tricky.
It does make it tricky, but what you have to go back to is what's the core content? The core content is live college sports, which there is a huge appetite for, and we'll find a way to get that out to those people and monetize it somehow, some way.
Okay, you mentioned Matt Campbell. I really like that guy. He's a lot of fun.
he's wise beyond his years, and he is a pretty special human being. As is the staff he surrounded himself with. This is more than the Matt Campbell show.
Well, that's the one thing selfishly, there a lot of them are around my age.
Uh-huh.
So I really
– Yep.
I've been able to hit it off with some of those guys, and I like them. But what seems like when Campbell walks into a room, though, I mean, he's like Mr. Charisma. Did you sense that when you interviewed him?
I mean, he was everything we'd heard – he was in person, which was just a very dynamic, very special person. But what I really have come to appreciate as I'm working with him is just, you know, his value system and how he deals with issues. And, the mere fact that the simple fact that our grade point average for our football team in the spring semester was above a 3.0, first time in the history of Iowa State, it was the same darn kids. You know, so they didn't become smarter the day Matt Campbell walked in.
Yeah.
They were the same kids. He just has a way of compelling them to show attitude and effort in the classroom. And as a result, we took our grade point average in football up significantly. And it's all because of his and his staff's approach to things.
He seems like just a really down to earth guy too. I mean, if he's like, I did one of these with him and we both like to watch the WWE.
Uh-huh.
Like I've never seen a coach at that level just sit around and talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like he just seems like a cool dude. And I guess where I'm going with that is I could totally see how a 21-year-old could relate to a guy like that very well.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't send the pictures because I thought that would be inappropriate, but we did have the Campbells out to Lake Panorama before I went to Poland. So I had the kids out and Matt and Erica. And I'll just say that Matt did get in a tube with his children and tube off the back of my boat. So he was a great dad, but you could see that, you know, he was just having fun. And so he's a normal guy.
Yeah, I like him. What kind of boat do you have?
Oh, now we're getting down into it.
Well, I mean, this is what we do here. Is it a pontoon? Is it a ski
boat? No, come on. I have a ski boat.
Well, you're getting up there in age, Jamie, so I thought maybe the pontoon boat would be.
Yeah, I know. Everyone tells me, did you get a pontoon boat? I was like, heck no.
I've been fighting my dad and mom because they've thought about getting the pontoon. I'm like, you guys aren't ready for
that.
Well,
see, once you get the pontoon boat, then the propaganda begins. The pontoon boat is the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
So
then it's your, I mean, you basically have to retire once you buy the pontoon
boat. Yeah, exactly. So I don't have a pontoon boat because I'm not retiring. Okay. So I have a Moomba ski boat.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And Steve Prohm, too. When we did this last year, he was just here. I didn't know him very well. He seems so much more comfortable now.
Absolutely.
It's been fun to watch him because, you know, he came into a real – anybody who replaced Fred, that's a
– Yep.
That's a brutal situation no matter how great of a coach you may turn out to be. But, man, he just, like – he just seems so much lighter and like he's having a lot of fun here.
I would agree. I saw it start to manifest itself during the tailgate tour.
Yeah.
But I think it really started at the end of the season when they got to the Sweet 16 and the season ended and it was almost like, okay, the whole Fred stuff now is kind of behind me.
Yeah.
And I've said to some people that, you know, none of us could really probably speak firsthand to what that must have been like. I mean, I'm pretty close to it because I'm around here, but you know, unless you were Steve Prohm and had to walk with that cloud over your head or shadow cloud sounds ominous, so just a shadow, the shadow of Fred, of his team and what his team was going to do. And now it's not Fred's team anymore, it's Steve's team. And you know, we saw it, I think, manifest itself in the latter part of the year when he had to insert some discipline.
Yeah, I
did
too.
You know, he figured out the right level of discipline and when to do it and how to do it and got us to probably where we deserved to get to, which was the Sweet 16. I mean, could that team have done better? Yes. Could the team have done worse? Absolutely. So he got us to where we probably should have got to. And I think that was he did a terrific job to get there. But now you can just see that's removed. His confidence, his personality has really come out.
Yeah, he was on here a couple months ago and doing, like, Dick Vitale impressions.
Yeah.
And he was singing the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song.
Wow.
A kid the same age, so we have that in common. But.
Well, it came out, unfortunately, at the expense of Christy Johnson and Matt Campbell and myself when we got our you-know-what kicked in size
the trivia?
Not the trivia, but what do we call it? Family Feud or whatever. Cyclone Feud.
Yeah, he was boasting about his victory here on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah. Act like you've been in the end zone before.
He said
dude.
That you guys were – I mean, they blew your doors off.
They did. They crushed us. There was no question about it. Matter of fact, the last day I knew it was over and I hate to lose, so I acted like I brought my glasses and my some reading material and acted like it didn't matter to me. And later that night, I heard Matt Campbell talking to Coach Prohm about how I was a terrible locker room guy because I didn't have any attitude or effort. I'm like, wait a second, I was faking that because I didn't want to admit that we just got crushed. So So there'll be a little revenge next year.
Is the tailgate tour? I give you a lot of credit for this because I've been at Iowa State almost the exact amount of time you have. Well, not been here, but covering Iowa State, and that whole deal really seemed to reach a portion of a not necessarily the fan base, but a prospective fan base as far as kids go.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of those kids, when you started. When was your first tailgate tour? 2006?
10 years ago, 2006.
Okay. So then a lot of those kids are probably at the age where they're going to be going to college now.
Absolutely.
Have you seen a growth in that sense?
Oh, absolutely. We've you know, I talked about it on the tour this year that I had people come up to me and show me pictures of their kids at the tailgate tours back in 2006, 2007, 2008 and would say, and now they're a freshman at Iowa State. And, one, it makes you feel old because I was going, dang, we've been here a long time. But really is starting to demonstrate what we talked about back then, which was kind of tongue-in-cheek. We need to grow our own. So you plant seeds and water it and watch it grow, and then eventually it, you know, they'll become Cyclone fans. And in a weird way, that's kind of what's starting to happen. And, you know, there's a lot of demographics, whether it's record enrollment or number of alums living in the state or the high school graduates, how many come to Iowa State. I mean, all of that, I think, is wrapped in together, and athletics has played a big part of that.
There's no question that at least in my mind, that enrollment number is one of the most impressive stats.
It's
surrounding Iowa State. I reference that all the time when I need some backlash for my Hawkeye brethren, when I need to go back at them. But that's a big number, because not only is that, you know, what's there now, but that's going to be there 20 years from now too.
Well,
they're going to want to buy tickets. They're going to want to do all that stuff.
Well, you know, and we used to talk about it. I remember talking about the lost generation, and what we meant by that 10 years ago was, you know, during that time frame when Hayden Fry beat Iowa State, whatever it was, 15 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what it was like to be a student during that time? I mean, going to a football game and tailgating and all of that, you know, probably was not high on most students' minds. And so those students left here with a whole different experience. And so then that group of students, when I started, was probably in the 20, maybe 30-year-old range, which they were starting to have kids. And what we talked about is we lost the one generation. We don't want to lose the next generation, their kids. So that was kind of one of the impetuses for the whole tailgate tour, was to try to get that generation back. And I think we've done a really good job of growing the kids' club and trying to market to families through the tailgate tours, and have kind of revived that and maybe brought that generation back that was lost, because college students today have a whole different experience leaving this place as it relates to their affinity to either football or basketball.
Oh, yeah. No question about that, even compared to when I was there. And that was like 10 years ago. Do you – because we're getting close to being out of time here, and I like to – the season's like a year around the corner. And when I say season to you, I mean everything kind of fires up, if it's soccer, if it's whatever. What are you looking forward to the most this year? Anything specific really stand out to you, like,
well,
in your mind?
I always really look forward to football, just because, you know, you – it's home football games are such a wonderful opportunity for Iowa State fans, alums, everybody to come together. And, you know, you wait all year for it and you get six or seven opportunities. And so, you know, I cherish those because they're really fun. So that's one. Number two, selfishly, you know, to have a son that'll be running this year for Iowa State.
That's awesome.
Versus redshirting. That'll be neat, too. It'll divide my time a little bit, where I may have to give up some of those cherished football games because our cross-country team will be competing. And then thirdly, you know, I've talked about this as, you know, the first decade was a lot of tangible, let's build facilities, let's, you know, raise the budget. You know, now as we move into the second decade, you know, we have some more aspirational goals we need to accomplish, which are some things that I don't directly get to control because it's more related to the performance of the teams. But, you know, it's time we ring the bell and do some wonderful, neat things. You know, we've seen the start of it with men's basketball at the Sweet 16 and winning a Big 12 tournament championship. But we need more moments like that. And certainly football is the one that has the ability to drive most of that because of the number of people it touches. But, you know, I want to see us win some Big 12 championships, whether that's volleyball or cross country or men's basketball or women's basketball, you name it. I want to see some of that happen in the next decade, because a lot of Cyclone fans have put a lot of sweat and equity and money into helping us build our facilities, build our budgets, and hire great coaches. Now we need to deliver.
I know that you're never done with, as far as facilities go, it's a constant arms race, but do you feel like you've set these at this point? You know, you talked about the first decade. I mean, football, I don't know what else they could need at this point. I mean, do you feel like these programs are set up right now?
Well, I mean, we're certainly set up. There'll always be things we need to do to continue to improve. I mean, we're, you know, right now in the middle of building the tennis facility, so that'll open up probably by December. So it's indoor tennis facility for our women's tennis team. You know, we are scratching the surface on an expansion to the Bergstrom football building for the football team, for an expanded locker room, players lounge area that really is a result of some of the change in legislation about food delivery and how you can do things with student athletes. And secondly, just Coach Campbell and his staff's approach to recruiting is just a little bit different in terms of how they want to use that facility. And so we're looking to do something there. And
we're going to get like some pinball machines down there. Like what are the
kids
like?
Well, I don't think it'll be that, but it's more of
like a game room,
you know, and it doesn't make one's right or wrong. I mean, the facility was built. We had a set budget at that time, but you know, the impetus at that time was it was a place to go to work.
Yeah.
And Coach Campbell's philosophy is it's a place to call home. And so, you know, he really wants the football players to not just come to the building to work, but to come to the building to be. And so yeah, that facility really doesn't have a place where they could just hang out. And then the whole nutritional component piece we can expand upon because of the change in rules. So we're exploring through that process right now.
Well, I always love doing this.
Well, I enjoy getting a chance to catch up with you and, you know, enjoy Knoxville Racing or wherever you're going. I heard you're yeah. – I do listen to the show because I listened yesterday when you had the Iowa Speedway guy.
Yeah, and then you turned
on
me off when I started talking about expansion.
Yeah. Well, I listened to the Speedway stuff.
That's okay. That's okay. If I – listen, I get it.
Trucks. You want trucks at the Knoxville
– You did listen.
I did listen.
I do. The trucks need to be at the Knoxville Raceway. I get it, though, because when I'm done with my two jobs at night – I go home and I like to watch like WWE.
Yeah.
Because it's completely off the radar from it's so like if you're driving home, I totally understand why you wouldn't want to listen to a hack like me when I really don't know this expansion stuff like I think I do. So
right.
I get it.
I do listen to all you guys, and I meant to text in on this, but maybe you were listening to it. It wasn't your part, but it was actually Heather on one of her shows.
Yeah.
But they were talking about tank tops, guys wearing what do you call them,
the bro tanks,
okay, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember listening to it. Well, as it would stand on my 7-hour flight over to Poland, the dude sitting in front of me with his girlfriend gets on. He's a big old like weightlifter guy, and he's wearing the bro tank top.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I gotta sit behind a bro tank top all the way to friggin' Poland, you know. And all I could think of was Heather, and I was gonna text her, and then I
was
forgot
it annoying. Was he a good guy or?
I didn't really talk to him, but, okay. You know, he looked a little bit like a lunkhead.
I have
wearing a bro t-shirt on a flight to Poland.
I have one bro tank. It's really cool. I think you would like it, actually. It's like the old – that gold right there.
Oh, really?
It's the old Iowa State gold, and then it just says Ames on it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a big fan of it.
Well, my last one was –
I don't have the body to pull it off, though, unfortunately.
No, I clearly don't. My last one was many, many years ago, but I remember I had Lineys.
At least you don't have, like, the man boob problem like that I've got going on, though, because you're a runner. You're out.
Okay, where this show is about coming to a conclusion here.
Thank you very much, in all sincerity.
Thanks, Chris.
It's been good talking to you. Jamie Pollard, we're up here at Iowa State today. Thanks for listening, guys.
There you go, guys, the latest Off the Record podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Remember, get those back-to-school physicals, the sports physicals coming up. Get the kids in there. Get them, check them out. All the locations, IowaClinic.com. You see their ads all over Cyclone Fanatic. Thanks to Jamie Pollard. He's the man. Always love coming in and interviewing him. He's very candid with his answers. It's a lot of fun. All right, guys, I'm going on vacation in Colorado next week, but we'll have another Off the Record. Bloom and I are going to do our season previews right around the corner. Thanks for listening. Take care.